do item 8, retirement overview session.
Yes, so in the past we've had pre-retirement workshops, and they're very popular and very well attended, and so accordingly, we've had some that get booked, and we're having to, you know, book them out pretty far in advance. So to help with that issue, we started last fall having retirement overview sessions for members who are more than 5 years away from retiring. It's a more general type session. Folks don't receive estimates at this session as they do at the pre-retirement workshop. So it's so that we can free up some spaces in those pre-retirement workshops for those that are closer to retirement. And so today, we thought it might be helpful for the board to experience the overview session that our members go through when they're attended. So we have Bree, who will be conducting the presentation. She's one of our counselors here at CSERA. I'll turn it over to her.
I just want to add that we just started doing this presentation. We've done it 3 times since we moved to our new location. However, we have been going out to various departments and districts and delivering a presentation to them for a number of years. And now that we've brought it in-house, the presentation is very, you'd say, general information, where we go to, say, the sheriff's office. We're very specific when we're speaking with the newly sworn deputies. Same with going to San Ramon Valley Fire. We tailor the presentation to the audience. The feedback has been very positive on the sessions that we've done. The survey feedback is an average rating of 4.95 on this presentation.
That's out of 5.
Out of 4. I was going to say out of 4. There's extra points. But out of 5, exactly. So, and Bree has been doing this for about 2 years, and so she does a great job.
Good morning, you guys. Like they said, my name is Brianne. Everyone calls me Bree, though. I am one of the senior retirement counselors at CSERA, so I do meet with members actively, but I do the presentations as well on the side. So I think you guys all have it as well, but this is the presentation we give here. So some of the basic information about CSERA: we're a defined benefit plan. We have approximately $8.6 billion in assets. If you don't know what a defined benefit plan is, it is a benefit that guarantees you a specific monthly amount at retirement for eligible members. Your contributions are collected monthly. You see that come out of your paycheck. And your employer also pays a contribution on your behalf as well. And those are invested to help pay your benefits once you're eligible to retire. And CSERA itself has about 23,000 members. So that's our active members, retired members, and deferred members. Some of the key terms that we talk about a lot on the phone with members that you may hear throughout your career: one of them is service credit. So that's your length in time in years that a member has made contributions into retirement. That can also include purchase time as well, on top of the service credit that you earn every month. Your final average salary is the salary that we use to calculate your pension. It is one of the pieces that we use to calculate your pension. And depending on your tier, it will either be 12 months or 36 month average that we use for your pension. Your age factor is the percentage associated with your age at retirement. Every tier is different in the age factor. But generally, you do hear a lot of people talk that safety members get 3% at 50, or if you're tier 3, you get 2% at 55. But in reality, that's changing every quarter of a month, of a year, from your birthday throughout your career as you're eligible to retire. And then the COLA is the cost of living adjustment. That is what is awarded to our retirees every April 1st, if it is awarded for any given year. And so that's why a lot of people retire in March. It is our busiest time for retirements, which is what's coming up now. And as long as you retire by March 31st, then you are awarded that cost of living on April 1st if it is approved. A legacy and classic member is any person that was in retirement membership with us prior to January 1st of 2013. And then a PEPR member is anyone that came into membership with us after, on or after January 1st of 2013. CERL is the County Employees Retirement Law of 1937. And then PEPRA is our Public Employees Pension Reform Act of 2013. So your membership is mandatory with Sarah, as long as you are working at least 20 hours per week. And are a permanent employee, then you do have to participate in the pension system. The only way that you can waive that is if you started as a member for the first time in our pension system as of the age of 60. So that's the only way that you can elect not to be in membership with us. Your membership date with us is always the first date of the month following when you were permanently hired. So our membership date with us will always be a little bit different from when you were hired with your job, because it is always going to be the first month when you were permanently hired, not temporarily hired as well. Your member contribution rates are based on your tier and your employer. And if you are a legacy member, then it's also based on your age of entry as well. Full-time members earn 1 month of retirement service credit for each month that a service contribution is made. So as long as you've earned enough earnings in that month to make a contribution, then you will get a full month of service credit for that month. So the differences between a defined benefit versus a defined contribution, you may not be familiar with that if you're a new employee to the county or district. So Sarah is mandatory. Your contributions are a set percentage that we set for you, and the CICERA manages the investments themselves. So it is different from a 401k or a 457, where those are voluntary. You can decide how much you contribute at any given time, and you choose where the money is invested yourself. So for a defined benefit plan, we do provide the fixed pre-established benefit at the time of retirement, and we calculate it based on these three factors, which is your final average salary, times your service credit at retirement, and times your age factor, and that gives us your monthly benefit amount. So it's not actually paid to you based on what you've put in over your career. Those contributions are just there to help pay your pension once you retire. Whereas a defined contribution plan is the amount that you normally contribute into your 457, and then at the time of retirement, you would decide how you want to withdraw those funds at that point. So what is a tier? A tier is a group within the retirement system that you're assigned once you become a member in our system. So it is based on your date, a membership date, your employer, and your job classification. So for legacy tiers, we have everything from tier one, tier 2 and tier 3. Newer employees generally don't have any tier 2 time anymore. And then safety A, safety A enhanced, and then also safety C enhanced. For our new PEPRA employees, we have PEPRA tier 4.2 and 4.3, which is the equivalent to districts that have tier 1 as their legacy tier. And then PEPRA 5.2 and 5.3 are for districts that have Tier 3 enhanced. And then we also have the PEPRA Safety D and PEPRA Safety D as well for our safety members. So contributions are made through your payroll deductions. They are pre-tax. So the tax that you would normally pay on those earnings every year is deferred until you retire. So once you do retire, you do have to pay taxes on your pension. And if you decide to leave prior to drawing a pension and you want to take a lump sum or roll it over, then you would have to pay taxes on it at that time if you're just cashing it out. As I've stated, the contribution rates are based on your employer and tier and age if you are legacy. And the contribution rates are determined annually by our actuary. And if they're going to change, they change every July 1st. And usually we will have them posted on our board well in advance so that you can see what those are changing to. We also credit interest twice a year, and the interest is credited on your contributions every July 1st and January 1st. So if you ever want to know what your rate is changing to so that you can prepare for that, you can look it up on our website. It's on our CICERA.org under the calculations tab. There's member contributions rates, and you can click on that, and you can put in what tier you are, who your employer is, and your age of entry if you fall within any of the legacy tiers, and then it will give you your what your current rate is and what your rate will be the next July 1st. If you are a Pepper tier, then you do not have to put the age of entry in because it's the same for everybody, no matter what age you came into membership.
This is also helpful for potential new hires if they're wondering, oh, how much am I going to pay? Employers can direct them to the website.
So vesting with our system is 5 years of full-time service credit. If you are part-time, then you have to work the equivalent of 5 years to get to 5 years full-time service. So if you are a 20-hour employee, you'd have to work 10 years of retirement service to get that 5 years to be vested. Vesting is the same for all tiers, whether you are legacy or PEPRA, safety, non-safety, it's the same across the board. So vesting for us really only comes into play if you're going to leave prior to you're eligible to retire. So if you are vested and you decide to leave, then you can start drawing your pension when you would have normally been eligible to. If you leave and you do not have that 5 years of vesting yet, then the earliest you can start drawing a pension is age 70. So that's where the vesting really comes into play for our members, and we go over that a lot with them. So in order to be eligible to retire, if you're a legacy member, you can retire age 50 with 10 or more years of service. Age 70, regardless of the service, you can retire at any age with 30 or more years of service. And then for our safety members, they can retire at any age with 20 years or more of service. For PEPRA members, the requirement to retire is age 52 with 5 years of service, or age 70, regardless of the service. So your final average salary for legacy members, for most tiers, we use the highest 12 consecutive months of base salary in any pensionable differentials that we are allowed to include. And we can also include one vacation sale if you're eligible to sell vacation. For PEPRA members, it's the highest 3-year final average base salary up to the annual limit for that year. No differentials and no vacation sales. We can also go back in time to find your highest average salary. So if you were ever working in a temporary upgrade maybe, or you were in a position and then you decided to step down, we can always go back and find your highest average salary no matter where it is within your career. So service credit, everybody earns 1 month of full-time or part-time service credit for each month that they work. Unused sick time is also converted into service credit at the time of retirement. So whatever you have on the books at the time of retirement, we do take that. If you're a general 40-hour employee, we divide it by 2,000 hours, and that gives us how much service credit you would receive in addition to your pension, on your pension. If you are a 56-hour employee, then it's divided by 2912, and we take that and figure out how much service credit that's giving to you. Anytime you get estimates from our office or your benefit statement, your sick leave is always added as a separate line so that you see how much it's adding to your pension. Since most agencies, you do not get paid out for your sick leave at the time of retirement, you lose it. You can determine if that's something that you want to have to be included in your pension or not. There are purchases that you can make with us throughout your career. One of those is a leave of absence. That could be for medical or military, and it can be up to 1 year at a time. So if you're ever out on a medical leave for something for yourself, you can look at buying that. The guideline for that is coming back to work and making one contribution, and then you can make that purchase. If you're out for longer than 1 year in a consecutive time frame, the max you can buy is 1 year. But if you've had multiple leaves throughout your career, then you can buy those all if they're just a couple months at a time. You can buy your time prior to membership. So this includes any temporary time that you might have been a temporary employee with your employer. Recruit and academy time, or your first month. So everyone has a little bit of time where they were hired and then they didn't become a member with us until the first of the following month. So some people might have gotten hired on the 1st of April and became a member with us on May 1st. So they have 1 whole month that they could buy and add a month of service to their pension. Other people, like myself, weren't hired till probably the 26th of the month, and you only have like 5 days, and then it doesn't really make that much of a difference to your pension. But everyone has a little bit of time. Some people have years. There's nurses and different things like that where they were a temporary employee for, 7, 8, 15 years, and then they come into membership finally, and then they can buy all that temporary time if they want to as well. So Redeposit is if you were ever previously worked for the county or a district and you left and terminated and you decided to take that money because you needed it at the time, and now you're back to work for the county again, you can look at redepositing that time. You would pay the contributions that you refunded plus the interest to bring it current. And then you would be given that service credit back into your account as well. A public service is if you ever had any military time or time with another public agency that you're not eligible to receive a pension with, you can look at buying that time through our system as well, and it would give you those years of service included. And then the last one is your community property share. So if you were ever married while you worked at the county and then you got divorced while you worked at the county, they may be awarded half of the pension from when you guys were married. If that's the case, we go through the process of splitting your account if that's what we need to do. And then they are given, the ex-spouse is given their options. If they decide to take a refund, a cash refund of what that dollar value is, you will have 5 years to redeposit that money back into your account from the date that we mail you the letter. If they don't and they decide to draw the pension on it, then you are never eligible to redeposit that time back. If you decide to leave before retirement, you will be given some options. One of them is rolling over your funds. You can roll them over into an IRA or another qualified employer plan, and then you don't have to pay the tax penalty on it. You can always cash out your money and pay the taxes on it, and then any additional taxes that the IRS might file when you file your taxes. Or you can also leave your contributions on deposit. They'll continue to earn interest every July and January. And then you can later decide if you want to draw a benefit on that at a later time when you're eligible, or you can always choose to cash them out later in your career. So we always advise people, if they don't know what they're doing at the time, if they're leaving, to keep it there so that if they do decide to come back, they don't have to worry about redepositing their money back in. So, leaving before retirement, you can also establish reciprocity. So in order to establish reciprocity, you have to terminate with your current employer and begin with the new employer within 180 days. You also cannot have overlapping service. So overlapping is the biggest thing. We'll get people that call in and ask questions about, I'm gonna go work at Solano County as an example, but I have 2 weeks of vacation, so I'm gonna use that 2 weeks of vacation up, but I'm gonna go start working there. So we try to advise them not to do that because then it's overlapping and we wouldn't be able to establish reciprocity. So there always needs to be that 1 day of gap in between the two, and it has to be within the 180 days as well. You can establish incoming or outgoing, but you must leave your contributions on deposit in order to keep the reciprocity established. When you go to retire, you'll submit an application with all agencies, and the retirement date has to be the same date with all agencies. And then each agency will pay you their own retirement allowance. There is benefits to that, though. We will use the final average salary from the highest reciprocal system. So if you're coming to work with us and you've been somewhere else, you know, for 10 years and then you work here for 15, your salary here will be higher, and CalPERS would say, as an example, would use that, your now salary, to calculate your benefit there. So it does help people if they are moving between agencies. And the final average salary can vary between systems because each system does decide what earnings they will and will not include. But reciprocal service credit is also used to determine your eligibility to retire and your vesting requirement. So those are two big pieces to think about as well. Some of the frequently asked questions that we get is, can I take a loan out on my account? And the answer to that is no, you can't borrow money against this account. That would be more so of a 401k or 457. And the other one is, when do I have access to the funds that my employer contributes on my behalf? And the answer to that is, you don't have access to those contributions. They are just there to help fund your pension and pay your pension once you retire. So updating your information, if you get married, we will need a copy of the marriage certificate to change your beneficiary. If you get divorced, we always need the final judgment and all attachments. If your spouse has passed away, we will ask for the death certificate in order to change the beneficiary. If you are changing your name or your beneficiary, we do have our beneficiary form on our website along with all of our other forms that you can print and mail in. But if you are changing your beneficiary to someone other than your spouse because you're divorced, then you will get a letter from us saying that we need to see your divorce decree before we can change that beneficiary. And the last is address changes. All address changes are done through your employer. So if you're a county employee, you do it on PeopleSoft, and it automatically uploads into our system through our I-29 reports. And if you are with a district, you change it with your district, and then they notify us as well on those reports. So you do get your annual benefit statement every year. Generally, it will come out around June. Benefit statements are a good time for you to review and make sure that we have all your information correctly. They do give you estimates of what you're going to receive, but it's a good time to check that your beneficiary is still who you want your beneficiary to be, that your address hasn't changed in the last year, things like that that may need to be updated. So at this point, during the normal presentation, this is where I actually go through with the members on how to use our website. So I teach them how to use the calculator so that they are able to do benefits on their own in the future. We also give them a copy of their most recent benefit statement so I can point out to them what tier they are, what their final average salary was that we were using, and then show them how to use the calculator so that they're able to do some more estimates on their own in the future. So, and that's it. We put a disclaimer and then have them complete the survey.
Anyone have any questions? John.
Bria had a couple, and first, a nice presentation. If you get a request, or do you get a request for lump sum calculation and distribution questions, and if so, how do you answer that?
So different departments handle different things. As a general, if they're calling in and asking about that, we will, as the counselors, go over with them that that is one of their options. We don't tell them what the actual balance is, though. They, in order to get a balance, they have to put that in writing because we have to verify their signature. But if they're actually wanting to roll it over, then it does get deferred to the member services department for them to handle because they're the ones that actually handle the distribution.
Okay. So you don't actually get into the calculation itself of the number.
Of the number of what they're going to get a refund of?
Well, lump sum, so yes.
No.
I mean, what we're talking about lump sum here means their employee account.
So if they're requesting a lump sum, that was if they terminated and did not retire.
All right.
So they would get a lump sum of contributions and just do whatever they want with it. I don't do that calculation. I only do estimates for members. So.
The second question really had to do with tax advice. When you're talking about rollovers, you have, for example, a 10% penalty. You show the withholding at 20%. But that doesn't deal specifically with that additional 10% if you're under 59.5. Do you try and get into any of that? And if you're asked tax questions, how do you respond?
I don't handle that side of things because I'm not in that department. But as a general rule, we tell them that we are not tax professionals, so we do not.
That's probably a good answer. Thank you.
I would say, normally, if the tax questions come up, we direct them to seek other professional tax advice. We don't provide the tax guidance. And then as far as lump sum benefit, the annual benefit statement does have contributions and interest that are in the member's account as of the time the benefit statement, the date of the benefit statement. So there is some information that would give them a ballpark figure. It's dated, but it would give them an idea.
I guess what triggered my question to begin with, Tim, was if any of the members had had private industry experience, for example, under a defined benefit plan, some do offer lump sum distributions that are the actuarial equivalent of your accrued benefit. We don't do that. They might come in with that kind of expectation. I just wanted to get a flavor for how you deal with that.
For the most part, anybody that's asking about lump sums is somebody that's terminated and they're not eligible to retire. So they're wanting to just take their money usually for some other personal reason.
So you really don't run into issues where people are asking effectively, is some of this employer money?
We get people all the time that want to know if they're going to be vested, if they're going to get the employer contributions if they vest. And so we explain to them what vesting means and that the employer contributions are just there to fund their pension, and they're never going to get that if they were to withdraw.
In a lump sum distribution.
Yes. Yeah. We do. Good. Tell them that.
Well,
Just to clarify on John's question, there's no tax penalty if you roll it into, I don't know the proper term, I'm not a financial.
A regular IRA.
An IRA.
Tax qualified. There is no penalty to rolling it into one.
You would have a full tax, well, you'd pay the full tax on the distribution if you roll it into an Roth IRA. There is a special rule in that one. From that point forward, it grows without future tax when you withdraw from the Roth IRA. But you pay a potentially fairly large tax, obviously depending upon the size of the distribution, if you make that decision not to roll over time. That's, you know, you get lots of weeds here, so in tax rules. So.
John, are you available for tax?
Your CPA still active.
Yes, it is.
Someone does take or elect a lump sum distribution, they get the required tax notice with it that explains what is, you know, the taxation and reporting. And as John mentioned, doing the Roth rollover or rolling it over to another employer plan or into another IRA or individual account. Can't continue to defer taxation.
Excellent.
Yes.
And then in terms of, I have a couple questions. This should be brief. Our employer, Contra Costa County Fire, is looking actually to do these sessions, potentially a couple of them. We're really excited to do those. So great presentation, by the way. Absolutely. So how do you handle the question from legacy, obviously, members that are asking you, what is compensable? Like, what is counting towards my pension? Obviously, my salary, but is FLSA included, for example, for safety members? How do you handle those type of questions?
Generally, if I'm going out to do a presentation somewhere, if I'm not familiar with what I'm working with, then I am familiar. So Sierra Ramon was a good example of knowing what we can and can't include and some other questions that would be coming up there. So generally, for firefighters, for CONFIRE, I do know what's included and what's not, so I can tell them pretty easily. What is included.
And then you mentioned sick leave is calculated for PEPRA, I'm sorry, for legacy members, you said 29.12?
It's the same for everyone. It just depends on the hours. So for 40-hour versus 56-hour. So
okay.
The firefighters, if they're 56 hours, then we divide it by 2,912 hours versus the normal 2,000 for 40-hour.
Understood. How many people use the calculator? Online, is it a frequent thing? Is that a frequent tool that gets utilized?
I have no idea.
No clue.
I don't know. If
just curious.
We refer people to them. We're trying to cut down on the number of estimates that requests that we get, and so if I can talk to somebody on the phone and give them a general idea, if they call in and you know they're 30 years old and they want to know what they're going to get at retirement, obviously what I give them today is not going to be accurate. By the time they're eligible to retire, hopefully their salary will have increased and everything else has changed. So I kind of go through over the phone with them how to use the calculator, and I know other counselors do the same. And at my session, at this session, I'm teaching them now how to use it, so hopefully it will start to get used more.
Excellent. I don't know if all the variables are built into that calculator, but I had a report, this is just for staff, I had a report of it was a chief officer, so the salary, it was a legacy member, so the salary amount was higher, if you will, as a senior staff, and they used the calculator and they got it like maxed out and topped out at a certain point, but then he ran it again a few weeks later and then it allowed it to go through, it provided, and this is one report from one user, so it could be user error.
I was say, you put
recording
your own salary in there, so he would, or she would.
Yeah.
Would have been putting in the salary amount themselves. So.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. I don't have any further details. I'm going to try to get more clarification from that person.
I mean, that would help if you could.
Yeah.
Normally, that it's not a lot of it, as Ray showed on the screen, there isn't a lot of information that you put in to have it calculate, and it's very much user-driven.
Right.
On what if, doing what if testing.
Yeah.
But there are limits based upon, you know, the compensation. Stop counting compensation.
Right.
Potentially that could be what happened, but
I think it happened on the first time, and then maybe it was user error on the second time. I'm not sure. So
yeah. You let me know. We'll take a look.
Hopefully he never listens to this recording. and then what's the, how do you cover the disclaimer that legacy members have? I know there's a disclaimer that when members go through the retirement regarding the whole Ventura and all the legal case stuff that's happening. Is that a question that comes up frequently regarding that?
That comes up more in our pre-retirement workshop than this is our overview, because okay. This is more newer, generally PEPRA people in this. It does come up in our pre-retirement. Yeah. I would say every other time, maybe. It depends on who's there, really, so and the audience that's in it. But generally, we just state that there has been, we have been given no information on it.
Excellent. Excellent. And then lastly, we're hopeful, you could, I don't know if it'll be you, Brian, or not, but we're hopeful to do a couple sessions at Contra Costa Fire, but we're also looking to do one virtually, potentially, via like a WebEx or a Zoom, so that we can record it for our new employees and put it on the union's web, you know, not in the public's view or whatever, but on you know, the employer's internal intranet, and then also on the, whatchamacallit, on the union's website, so that we, you know, essentially become a reference tool for new employees, so to try to reduce the number of times that you would have to do this. So thank you. Great presentation.
Thank you.
Louis, just a quick question. Do you get a lot of questions about buying service credit using a trustee-to-trustee transfer like your 457? Or do you tell them about that also?
Yes. Like they're eligible? Anytime we give them an estimate for a purchase, the letter actually breaks out the ways that they can buy it. But if they call in, we will tell them their options. But trustee-to-trustee transfer is one of the biggest ones, and I always tell my members about it because it is done pre-tax.
Okay, thank you.
I actually had a question. I've been asked this on multiple occasions, and I don't know the answer. So 40 hours a week times 52 weeks is 2080. And we divide by 2,000. Is that statutory, or is that just something that we've decided to do?
It's been that way since I've been here.
It's been that way since I started.
And I don't know. I think it has to do with the hours, right? The one.
From what I've seen through board minutes, it was decided to be 2,000 because they assume a lot of people take vacation. They
okay.
Have 2 weeks of vacation, so they feel like most people work about 2,000 hours.
Okay. That's great. Now I have an answer. Anyone else have any questions or comments? And Donnie?
A digital copy of the presentation.
Yeah, we can send it out.
I was just going to say thank you. Everyone else has echoed. I also really appreciate the calculating your rate for the next cycle as opposed to having to try to dig through old minutes that some of us used to do and guess what people were tiered on. That's very helpful for folks. Good job.
Thanks, Bray. Nice job.
Thank you.
Well, you had one more?
One. Yeah, one more.
Sorry. Not so fast.
I hit the button before we end. It's like Jeopardy. Question. So if somebody defers, let's see what other question I didn't get. So if somebody defers, they could essentially leave the system, leave it in there, and they would be accruing semiannual interest at the rate, assumed rate of return indefinitely, and then they could call you up when they turn 90, and they could say, hey, I want to cash out, or I want to actually start receiving my benefit.
70 and a half.
Oh, okay. I was trying to be extreme. Sorry, Tim.
Getting letters. But yes, they could.
Okay. Excellent. That's my other question.
Can she go now?
Yeah, let me release my.
Thank you so much. Well done. The sentiment of the board, would a short break be? Does anyone want a short break? Yep.
Not too much longer.
Not too much longer, so shall we power through?
I say power through, so we need to step out and then the chair.
No, the chair's doing fine, but thank you. Okay.